Welcome to another episode of the Stumbled Upon podcast. I am your host, Kate, and each week we will be taking a deep dive into a random topic that has sparked my interest. Before we get started with today's episode, I just want to say that I hope that you're all having a wonderful Friday and are looking forward to the weekend. I normally have a random topic, like I said, for each episode. This week is a little bit different in that I don't have one specific topic that I want to discuss. I figured I would do an episode where I just kind of went over sort of minute little random topics that had sparked my interest throughout the time that I've been recording this podcast. Just stuff that is more either anecdotal or there's not a lot of information to go super in depth with it, or I just didn't think to research further into whatever it may be. So anyway, this is going to be more informal kind of chat style episode this week. So I wanted to start by talking about aliens, which bear with me here. Okay. There's a story behind this. So first of all, I think that it is something that we all have thought about at one point or another, right? Whether or not aliens exist or whether or not there is intelligent life out there other than humanity. And I think it is pretty arrogant to think that we are the only intelligent life out there. And I also think, based on our level of technology, that it's pretty arrogant to think that we are the most advanced civilization that exists in the universe. Just because, so one of the podcasts that I listen to is Star Talk with Neil deGrasse Tyson, and I love his topics. I don't understand a good deal of what he's talking about or what him and his guests are talking about. There's a lot of concepts that I just don't understand. In fact, he does these episodes called Cosmic Queries, where he'll do an episode that is just answering questions that listeners have submitted. And the level of intelligence in the questions that people are asking blows my mind, because I 9 times out of 10 don't even have any clue what they're even asking him. And he's like, oh yeah, bop, 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 and comes up with an answer. And it's just amazing to me. So anyway, the point of that tangent was that what I've learned from the time that I've been listening to his podcast is just how vast space is, like truly is, and how much we don't know about what's out there. And that to me leaves a lot of room for the possibility that there are other intelligent life forms out there, right? That just makes sense to me. So I listened to, I think it was a Cosmic Query episode that I was listening to recently, and one of the questions that was asked was about intelligent life, and they asked, I don't remember, maybe the question wasn't about intelligent life, the question was about our understanding of the edge of the universe, and his response was basically like, what we can visibly see is, because space is expanding, and I may butcher this explanation because, again, I don't fully understand everything that they talk about, but the gist of it, I believe, was that because space is ever expanding, the horizon, or what we can see on the edge of our telescopes and instruments and all that, is getting like the stuff that was on the edge of it, you know, 5 years ago is now further away from us than it was 5 years ago. So things that used to be close to us are now moving closer and closer to that horizon. And then the stuff that was on the horizon is also moving further away. And so it's like going over the edge of that horizon to where we can't see it anymore. And basically he said that if we live long enough as a society, the people who are looking at the sky hundreds of years from now will not be looking at the same sky that we were looking at, and they won't be able to see what we can see today because it will have moved beyond the horizon and the visible horizon. And so he brought up the fact that if we would have had the technology that we have today hundreds of thousands of years ago, you know, when humanity first, you know, became, I guess, the dominant species, what did the sky and the horizon look like then? And how much have we lost in the time from when we became Homo sapiens to now, basically, how much information have we lost out on because we just didn't have the technology to see it? And that kind of blew my mind, honestly. That is one of the things that I think about when I'm thinking about the possibility of there being aliens, right? Because if there's so much out there that we can't even see, so what's to say that there isn't another intelligent life form out there, right? Or another planet that sustains life like Earth? That just makes sense to me. And they've done the math for it. You can look it up, and there should be a certain, based on the math of the universe, there should be, you know, a certain number of life sustaining planets within the universe. And, you know, Earth is not the only one. It's the only one that we've found so far, but that doesn't mean it's the only one that exists. And that reminded me of, like, quite a while ago, I don't even remember where I came across this information, so I couldn't even tell you. I think I was reading an article or something like that, and they were talking about the reasons why we have not found intelligent life, why scientists think that we haven't found intelligent life, and basically they came up with a few different reasons. So the first reason being, like I said, that space is big and we just haven't found them, right? The other reason that they gave was perhaps aliens came back when we were still in our, you know, more primitive forms. And so because of that, if they had the advanced technology to travel to Earth and they saw us basically in our hunter-gatherer phase, not having really any sort of technology, they just left because there was no use in interacting with us at that time. And then I think another theory was that they are like watching us as if we're in a zoo. And so essentially they're out there watching us progress as a civilization, and they just haven't made contact because we're not advanced enough. And then the other theory was that there are intelligent life forms out there trying to communicate with us, but because their technology is so advanced, we do not possess the technology to interpret their communications. So they could be sending signals out, and we just don't have the instruments capable of recognizing that these transmissions are happening. So I thought that was kind of interesting. And like I said, I don't really feel like I don't want to do a whole episode on aliens because I don't think that we know. It would just be a bunch of speculation, right? And then where do we go with that? And then also, as I'm saying that, I'm like, what about crop circles? And so then my mind goes off in these like tangents, and I'm like, well, that doesn't have anything to do with anything. And I think a lot of crop circles are debunked, right? As not being factual. I don't know, maybe. Let's look that up actually really quick. Okay, so according to my quick Google search, it says, I Googled, are crop circles real? And it said, yes, crop circles are real, but the vast majority are human-made hoaxes or art installations. While some have been linked to paranormal or extraterrestrial theories, scientific consensus is that most are created by humans using various methods. So that was the quick little Google overview. You know, per usual, science is going to say, oh, it's a hoax, and it may end up being true. I mean, look at all the stuff that the CIA and the government had classified. And then when they declassified a bunch of documents, we learned a bunch of stuff about, you know, Area 51 and all that. And so it's not far-fetched to say that some of these conspiracies may be based in some kind of truth. But at the end of the day, you know, people are just people. If it's going to get them 5 minutes of fame to put, or 5 minutes, 15 minutes of fame is the correct phrase. If it's going to give them their 15 minutes of fame, then they're going to do it, right? I wouldn't put a lot of stock in crop circles personally, but that's just my own opinion. And then the other reason why I thought about aliens is I was listening to another podcast. It's called Pagan Coffee Time or something. I've only listened to one episode. And from what I gather, it's these two guys that just kind of talk about random stuff. And this particular episode that I listened to they talked about aliens kind of briefly, or intelligent life out there at one point during their show. And they brought up the fact that in a lot of the major religions around the world, including paganism, there are myths about these otherworldly creatures. And it stands to reason, you know, in these religions, they may call them gods or demigods or whatever the case may be. And their argument, or their point of view, I should say, was that perhaps what was recorded in by these people were actually alien encounters or encounters with, when I say alien encounters, I just feel like it just makes me think of, what was that show? Oh God, X-Files. Okay, that took way too long. So basically, when I say alien encounters, it makes me think of X-Files and it makes me feel like I am talking like a crazy person. And so maybe I should say intelligent life, encounters with intelligent life, right? Because that makes it sound a little less kooky, I think. I don't know. Anyway, the point being that many myths in our modern day are based around these stories of these supernatural things, and we don't really see the same kind of caliber of story happening today. So their position was maybe that was alien encounters, and they have since moved on because we just were not on their level, basically, or essentially. I don't know. It's just something that's interesting to think about. And I don't know where I land on the subject. With a lot of things, especially like supernatural things, I tend to fall on the side of skeptics. But then at the same time, I want to believe that it's true. So I watch a lot of TikTok content creators that talk about spooky stories, you know, paranormal stories. There's one account that is called, I don't think her account is called Spooky Scary Story Time, but that's what each of her videos is about, is a Spooky Scary Story Time episode. And she talks about different stories that viewers have submitted to her regarding weird encounters, you know, whether that be supernatural or, I guess, extraterrestrial or just weird stuff. A lot of it has to do with, you know, encounters in like the Appalachian Mountains and encounters with ghosts or haunted houses or haunted locations, things like that. It's really interesting. Oh, there's this one story that she talked about that somebody submitted where basically the people who submitted the story claimed that they had gotten caught in like a time loop. And basically they said that they had pulled off the road in like rural Georgia, I believe it was, and it was late at night and they were tired and they pulled off at this gas station, but then the gas station, because they had to, you know, they wanted to use the bathroom, and it was a group of friends or siblings, I don't remember, it doesn't matter, and they wanted to, you know, get some snacks, whatever, but when they got into the gas station, it was really old and everything was dusty and it looked like it hadn't been taken care of and everything was just really like expired and just weird. So they ran out of there and then they tried to get back to the highway and then they couldn't get back on the highway and they kept driving by the gas station like they were stuck in a loop, even though they were not making a loop in the way they were driving, is what the story was. And then a few days later, I think, or I'm not sure what the timeline was, but then she gets a submission from this man who claims that his father, who was a drug abuser, had claimed that he saw people who visited his gas station from the future back in the 80s. And it coincides with this story from these people. And so they were like, oh, maybe it was this weird time loop where that man really was there. Like, there was an overlap in the timelines, right? Between when the man was there at the gas station in the 80s and he saw these people from the future. And then when these kids went to the gas station, I want to say it was like maybe in the 2010s, and saw this weird guy with all this stuff from the 80s or from all this stuff from like long decades ago, right? I almost said a long time ago, and then that hurt my own feelings because I feel like the 80s were 20 years ago and it was not 20 years ago. So anyway, so that's the kind of stuff I like on TikTok, right? Getting back to the point of this story was that I like to watch these kind of spooky things on spooky stories on TikTok because I find them interesting, and a part of me, I don't believe most of it, but a part of me wants to believe it. I just think that, you know, I think when it comes to things like the supernatural and alien life and, whatever else there may be out there. For me, again, I'm going to remain skeptical, but I'm also open to the possibilities because I really don't think this is it. I'm right. I mean, it cannot just be that we are the only planet in the whole universe, really? Like, that just doesn't make sense to me. Logically, mathematically, it does not make sense that we are it. And then when you take it down to a smaller level, I mean, the ocean, there's, what is it, 90%, 80% of the ocean has not even been explored fully, and they're finding these creatures from the deepest depths of the ocean that they thought were extinct, and they're alive and well, and they're just, scientists are baffled by this. And so it makes sense to me that if you have this amount of space, whether it be space in space or space under the ocean, that has not been explored, why wouldn't there be stuff out there that we don't understand? Or that we haven't come across yet, or that we don't know about, because there's so much that we don't know, you know? And that kind of makes me think of this article I read. So I subscribe to Scientific American, and I don't have a paid subscription, so I can't read a lot of their stuff in full detail because it's behind a paywall and I'm not going to pay. But I do get their emails, I think it's daily, and it's just little blurbs of news and science news because I'm a nerd. Oh, I also subscribe to the History Channel's newsletters, email newsletters, and those have some really interesting facts as well. So if you ever decide that you want to have an inbox full of random facts, then I suggest Scientific American and History Channel subscribe to their newsletters. It's really fascinating. Anyway, I digress. Well, I think this whole episode is a digression, so really, whatever. But the point of that is that I read a little blurb from Scientific American that this ice sheet had cleaved off of one of the icebergs. I don't remember where. But the point of that was that part of this ice sheet on this iceberg had cleaved off and like fallen into the water, right? So underneath where it used to be, it showed scientists were in the area when it happened. So they went to go check it out because the scientific team was going to do research on something else. And then this occurred and they were like, oh, we're going to do this research now because it's created an opportunity for us, because the glaciers are heavy, duh. And so it's difficult to get an accurate picture of what's happening underneath them, because it's not like you can just go underneath them. From what I read, normally they'll do like drilling down into the ice and see, you know, they drill a hole and then see what's under it. But they can't really get an accurate picture of the ecosystem that's down there. And so when this occurred, this research team went to go check it out, and they discovered this whole ecosystem of different animals and microorganisms and things that they didn't even realize was a thing. It allowed them to see just exactly how these animals have adapted to live in these extreme environments. What I thought was really interesting was that in the article, it talked about how they've never seen this particular little ecosystem at work before, because as soon as that glacier falls off into the ocean, it's gone. The ecosystem becomes destroyed because it's not adapted to living without the ice above it, if that makes sense. And so I thought that was really cool. Again, it just goes back to my point of how much we don't know about the way the world works. That supports my ideas about keeping an open mind, really, when it comes to things. That's just my little tangent on that. And really, if you think about it, there's also, the ocean is cool. So I've been in love with the ocean for a very long time. And at one point, my goal in college was to become like a research marine biologist. I guess that's not even accurate, because it's not that I wanted to become a research marine biologist. I wanted to live on a boat in the Pacific Ocean and clean up the garbage patch that is out there. So I don't remember how big it is anymore. I think it's the size maybe the size of the United States. It might be smaller than that. It's huge, though, and it's the Great Pacific Garbage Patch. You should look it up if you don't know about it. And basically, the way the currents flow in the Pacific Ocean keep this patch of garbage stuck in place. So all of the shit that gets thrown into the ocean. And you know what? You don't even have to throw your garbage into the ocean. So much of our garbage makes its way into the ocean because of things called watersheds. So for those of you that don't know, you could live miles and miles and miles inland. A watershed is essentially, you know, you throw or a piece of garbage. We're not going to say you throw a piece of garbage because I know none of you would do that. But let's just say a piece of garbage makes its way into like a creek, for example. Well, that creek connects to a bigger waterway, maybe a river at some point, or maybe a stream, right? So the creek connects to the stream. So now the garbage has moved from the creek into the stream. And then the stream connects to a river. And so then the garbage moves into the river. And then guess what? The river flows into the bay. And then guess what? The bay flows into the ocean. So that's how all this crap makes its way into the ocean. Never mind the fact that there's so much stuff just getting dumped directly into the ocean from ships. That's a whole other thing. But this garbage patch is this island of trash that is stuck out in the Pacific Ocean because of the way the currents move around it and they keep it in place. And it is vast and it is disgusting. I had this dream of one day cleaning it all up. Just me single-handedly on a boat in the Pacific Ocean. And if that just doesn't typify young idealism, I don't know what does. Because at that point in my life, I was like, I'm going to save the planet. And now I'm this jaded 30-something-year-old that's like, yeah, no, we're not. It's never going to happen. So maybe our best bet is to figure out how to travel in space and find another planet to destroy. I don't know. Anyway, that got cynical fast. And you know what? I'm not trying to be cynical. I'm really not. Because at the end of the day, I do believe that we can do better. I do think that if you know a little bit more and you get a little bit more educated, then you can make better choices. And by making better choices, you can make the world around you a better place. So while I do have a healthy dose of cynicism, I also have a healthy dose of optimism. And it's all about balance, right? You got to keep the two sides in balance. So I will leave you with that. In conclusion, I hope that you all have a wonderful rest of your day. Thank you so much for hanging out with me and just letting me go off on all of my random tangents that I didn't really have a place for anywhere else. I will be seeing you next Friday.